We are fast approaching a new year. As the new year begins, I'm reminded of the fact that we are 1 year closer to our death, or 1 year closer to standing in the judgment and answering to God. The day of death, or the day of the Lord, returns. It's coming. We've been 3 centuries now. And people have been looking for his return. And someday, we don't know when, but someday it's going to happen. Someday also our death is going to come, whether he has come yet or not. That day we will stand before the Lord's judgment. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or whether bad. We all would like for him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But there are going to be many that stand and hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we do not want to be in that group where he sends us to outer darkness. The day when we say, "Come, ye blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world," Matthew 25 and 34. Or, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." We're going to hear one of those two words. And I know we'd all rather hear the one that we are blessed and we would be with him. And that one is Matthew 25:41 on the last one. The day when he will set. Now let's consider some things. And I have some questions to ask. Those questions are for me. Those questions are for you. In the past year, has our relationship with God and Christ improved? That's something we need to look at in our lives. Has it improved? Has it gotten any better? Is it better than what it was a year ago? Have we drawn near to God? In James 4 and 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." My question is, have we done that? Have I drawn closer to God? Have you drawn closer to God? James tells us that's what we need to do. But we make that choice. He doesn't make that for us. Bearing in mind that a close relationship depends on a good communication. What is our communication? Have we been faithful in listening to God's word? Another year has gone by. Have we made a priority of the study of God's word? If we don't make a priority of reading His word and studying His word, we have no communications and we don't know what He wants us to do. This is the only thing that we'll get any communication from as to what God wants us to do. Christ came into this world and He left us a message and He showed us how it should be. If not, and especially if we never can say that we honestly are taking our relationship with God seriously. Are we taking it serious? How can we be what God wants us to be, or be, if we're not taking it serious and wanting to do what God wants us to do? I try, but I fall short an awful lot. And I know it. Especially when I think about things and look back at my life. Have you read or do you study for class so that we know what the book of the Bible says that we're studying in class? That is one way to learn the Bible and learn what the Bible says. When we come to Romans class on Sunday morning, have we read Romans? Have you read any of it? Have you read at least a chapter or so that we should be studying in? So that when we come to class, that you know what it says. We're studying Hebrews on Wednesday night. Do you know what Hebrews really says? You know, Hebrews is a book that I've spent quite a bit of time in because it really tells how things was in the Old Testament, but how it is in the New Testament, and really how Christ has come to this earth for one purpose, for a better life, and how He gave His life for our sins so we might have eternal life and so we might have the forgiveness of sin. And do you know that, and do you understand that, and have you read any of that? So that you really know what we're studying. Have you been satisfied in talking to God in prayer? Two-way communication. God gave us His word. And we need to talk to God. And if we don't talk to God, you're on your own. And when I'm prepared to try to give a lesson, even though I have my problems, that prayer line is constant on the open. Any Communication requires a two-way. God has to talk to us. He talks to us through His Word. And we have to talk to God, especially if we need help. Therefore, fervent prayer, study, should be joined with fervent prayer. When we're studying this, we should be doing it in a prayerful way and asking God to help us to understand what His Word says. For if we don't, we will not know anything. Has our prayer increased? Or has it decreased in this last year? Have we been more prayerful? Have we been more thankful to God for what He has given to us? Have we been more thankful to God when we're studying His Word and learning what He wants us to know? And asking Him for His help understanding His Word? Or has it decreased? And you're just letting things go. Both ways, studying and prayer. We have some choices. We have to make them. As I said, I try, but I know I fall short sometimes. What is our ultimate goal? Resolution defined. To resolving or determining or deciding something determined upon. Making these resolutions, you determine what you're going to do. Are we going to study the Word? Are we going to pray? Are we going to live the life that God wants us to? That is a resolution. We have to make that decision. And no one else can make that decision for us but ourselves. I have to make that decision. You have to make that decision. We all have to make that decision ourselves. Nobody can make that decision for us. A decision as to the future action. Resolve to make a decision. When preparing to make of the resolution, we should think of prayer. You should ask God's help when you're making those resolutions. You need to ask for help with those decisions. Do we always do that? I don't think so. I know in myself alone, sometimes I make decisions, I don't even think about it. Let's think of one thing. As we're making a decision, are we getting to be ready for the Lord? To be found in Him in peace. And I'm going to be dealing in 2 Peter here for a little bit, 3rd chapter. Verse 14, therefore, dear friends, While you wait for these things, make every effort to be found in peace. We are to be found in peace when we were getting ready to be found in Him. The rest of that verse, to be without spot and blameless. Without spot or blameless before Him. So He expects us to be trying. We need to be trying not to be spotted or blemished in any way. One of the things with the animals in the Old Testament was one of the things God said they are not to have anything wrong with them. They are to be perfect. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But we need to be striving for that. But none of us is going to ever be that perfect. Whenever the Lord returns, we certainly want to be ready for His coming. I know we're all trying to strive to be ready when God comes, when Christ comes again. But there are many in this world that are not striving. And as I understand and have heard from some people, they don't care. People think they're going to make it to heaven anyway. And are they ever mistaken? And all they got to do is open this Bible, and they will find out a different story. We also need to remain steadfast. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter and verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you are not led away by error of immoralities and fall from your own stability. Lest you fall. We can fall. And He warns us. Also in Hebrews, the second chapter, third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Watch out, brother, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God, but encourage each other daily, while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by his sins and deception. For we have become companions of the Messiah, if we hold firmly until the end of reality that we had at the start. We need to hold on. Like we started, we need to continue. We need to stay there, steadfast, unmovable. Why? Lest we be led astray. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, or 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly bring in destruction, heresies, even denying the master who brought them who bought them and was bring them swiftly, who brought them and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their unrestrained ways. Because of them, the ways of truth will be blasphemed. In their greed, they will export you with deceptive words. Their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. This is why we need to know God's word, is because there are people out there that will lead you astray if you do not know his word, if you do not use prayer even. There is a lot of false teachers, and they definitely will lead you astray if you do not know how God wants you to live and be. But there's another choice. There's another resolution you have to make. Be ready for his coming. We must be sure and not fall away through negligence, nor be led astray by false teachers. We don't want to be led away, because if we get led away, we'll lose our salvation. And I don't think any of us want to do that. I don't think that's the way we want it. I don't think that's the way when we stand before God that we want to be. What could be more important? To be ready for our Lord when he returns? And if it was important for the Christians of the first century to be ready, how much more for us in the 21st century to ensure that we obtain our ultimate goal? We have several resolutions to consider. Think how to maintain our goals. As some of you know, I bowl quite a bit. In bowling, you know them pins are down there. You know you want them that ball to hit them pins. Knock them down. Well, and I've been known to do it a lot, every once in a while, you might drop that ball too close to the edge and you don't get the turn on it that you want. It goes down there a little ways and in the gutter it goes. That's not where you want it to go. That's not your goal. That's not what you intended to do. And then you have some marks that you know that you should be hitting, little arrows down there on the lanes. And if you don't hit them marks just right, when you throw that ball, well, you get some pretty nasty leaves. And some of the nastiest leaves are those splits. Some of the other leaves aren't too bad, but what is your goal? Actually, your goal is to get a strike every time, but you know you're not going to get it. Just like when you're trying to serve the Lord, what are you trying to do? Trying to do what he wants us to do. Do we do it every time? No. For none of us are perfect. And we're told that. Read your Bible. Number one of the goals. For it provides the salvation. In James 1 and 21, therefore, ridding yourselves of moral filth, evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. The implanted word, by reading the Bible, is able to save us. We know what we need to do. It provides nutrition for spiritual growth. 1 Peter 2 and 2, like newborn infants, desire the unadulterated spiritual milk so you may grow by it in your salvation. We don't study God's word. We don't get the milk of the word, and then we don't get the meat of the word. And that way, we can't grow towards our salvation. It provides protection against drifting away from misled by false teachers. In Hebrews 2 and 1 and 3 and Acts, but looking at Acts 20, 29 and 32, what did Paul tell the Ephesian elders? He said, watch out, there are wolves among you, and even among yourselves, there are false teachers. He warns them. He even warns the elders, and he tells them. So, if he tells them, and if he tells us in his word, then we have to understand his word and know when somebody is trying to false teach us. Resolve to spend each day feeding on the word of God. I don't always read every day, but I'll tell you, I have set times. We usually watch Jeopardy every night. But most nights, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing on that TV worth watching. You want to be corrupted. That'll corrupt you real good. That TV goes off. Tuesday night is my night to study for Hebrews. I have some commentaries and things. I read the Bible part, then I turn to the commentaries. And I read what they've got on the scripture, and then what the comments are, to have a better knowledge. I might start Friday night sometimes studying for Romans. But Saturday nights, another night, TV goes off. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing on. Might be a football game, then I might watch that. But that's a different story. But I get out and read the Bible, read my commentaries. And what have I? Because you know what? I want to know what those two books say. We're going to be studying James here this next year. Be doing the same thing with it. There's material. There's ways to study it. But when you're studying, pray every day. I know a lot of times we don't pray before we're doing studying. But we need to use prayer more than what we do. Studying, making decisions, living our lives. For Christians, prayer is a means of which we remain holy, without blame, for it is the way to forgiveness. 1 John 1 and 9. We have to have a communication with God if we want forgiveness of sin. We have to ask Him for it. And He'll be willing to do that. But if we don't have prayer, a prayerful life, we can't have any forgiveness or anything. As I said before, it's a two-way communication. God's Word and us talking to God. For Christians, prayer is also a way to peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If we desire to be found by the Lord in peace, without spot and blameless, then we need prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and the 17th verse says, pray without ceasing. You know, a lot of times I've been in the yard, been out working, maybe weeding, maybe just planting, maybe just out there working by myself. You know, and all of a sudden sometimes I think about something that I've read in God's Word. Or some thought will come up and maybe I'll say some kind of small prayer. It doesn't have to be a big one. Maybe I need to ask for help when I get up in the morning for the day. At night when you go to bed. Maybe you need to talk to Him a little bit about some things. But we need that. Just like we need to study. Attending the services of the church. I'm going to go over to Hebrews. I told Chad Wednesday night, I said, you almost took half my sermon. I said, so now you can preach the sermon tonight. He says, there ain't no way. He wasn't going to buy that one. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings as some habitually do. And here is the part I want to get. But encourage each other, and the more as you see the day drawing near. Our assemblies are designed to encourage faithful service. If we don't have some encouragement, if we're not together helping each other, just as sure as we're not, we're going to fall away. He said, as some do this constantly, you're not willing to come to services. You apparently are not interested in your soul's salvation. You're not interested in God. You're not interested in anything. Goes along with God or Christ or anything. It is one way to edify one another against falling away in Hebrews 3, 12, and 13, which I've already read. In conclusion, it's going for longer, I don't know. Do we desire to remain steadfast, not led astray by the error of the wicked, found by the Lord when it comes to His peace, without spot or blemish, then simple resolutions such as this: read the Bible daily, pray every day, attend the services of the church, grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, display holy conduct and goodness, will go a long way to ensure a proper state of procedures. We will then be ready, whether He comes this year, next year, or whenever. Finally, I'm going to read part of a poem. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs. A new year, a new beginning. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. What is written on each page will now depend on you. We have a new year coming. We can make these resolutions to serve God better and be better people and be more what God would have us to. Notice, you can't relive the year that's passed. Erasing every wrong. When I think back about my life sometimes and some of the things, I wonder if I'm going to even be forgiven sometimes. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. What happened years past, they're spent. You can't relive them. It is forever gone. And we can't bring it up again. If you're subject to the invitation, if you've not obeyed the gospel, why not tonight? Or if you need the prayers, now is the time to come forward as we stand and sing the song.